Today's scripture reading is from Mark 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses. Moses was with him, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. My parents both worked, and so each summer they would piece together how my little sister and I would be taken care of during that extended break from school. For a few weeks of the summer, we would have paid babysitters come to the house. When we were a little older, I remember we went to day camp. We were never like the overnight camp type people. But I mainly remember summers going something like this. My parents would drive my sister and I up to Nashville, where some family members would have come to meet them, and then they would take us back up to Cincinnati. We would stay with my dad's parents for a week or so, and then they would hand us off to my mom's mother. Then my parents would come and visit for maybe a long weekend, and they would take us and my grandmother back home, and she would watch us for the rest of the summer. Now, growing up, our family vacations mostly consisted of whatever sightseeing destinations my parents would string together somewhere between Montgomery and Cincinnati. I mean, I have seen every Civil War battlefield and fort that there is between here and there within a relatively short distance of the interstate. I have seen caves, I have seen caverns, I have seen horse parks, I have seen rock cities. All of this fabulous stuff was packed in between, you know, hundreds of miles of driving each day in this awesome conversion van. Oh, man, that conversion van, you would never call it mini. The doors did not open themselves. The most amazing thing about the conversion van was the seats in the middle. You could turn them all the way around and face the couch in the back, and there was a table right there, and you could play rummy while you were driving. And we would stay overnight in motels for no more than one night apiece. And every single one of us, my parents, my sister, and my grandmother, would stay in one room. My grandmother, who, by the way, was always the first to fall asleep and was the loudest snorer I have ever heard in my entire life. And it was great. It was really great, other than when we were all captive at some location where there were lots of plaques and signs to read, because my father had to read every single one of them. But other than that, it was great. So one year, one of these little side trips took us to the Smoky Mountains. And I remember that we loaded up the van that morning, and we didn't stop and eat breakfast. Usually we ate like at the motel restaurant, the Howard Johnson's restaurant. But that morning, we were in a hurry for some reason, and we stopped and we just got donuts. Now, the way I eat donuts is in twos, and I filled my belly up in the back of that van that was weaving and winding around those mountain roads. And before long, I had to ask my parents to stop, pull off on one of those little scenic overlooks so that my stomach could calm back down. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what comes to mind when I hear the term mountaintop experience. Now, that is not the sort of thing that is supposed to come to mind when we hear that term. What we are supposed to think of is a story like in today's scripture. The transfiguration of Jesus, like some amazing and different experience in our lives. In this scripture, what we see is Jesus take three of his followers up a mountain, and there they experience something otherworldly. It's mysterious. It's crazy. First, Jesus is transformed into something other than what he usually looks like on a normal day down on the roads that they are traveling. His clothes all of a sudden are whiter than anyone could possibly bleach them. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew writes that Jesus' face just shone like the sun. He was more beautiful. He was more spiritual. He was more glowy up there that day on the mountain. And then, if that was not enough to make that something they were going to remember forever, suddenly Elijah and Moses are there speaking with Jesus. I don't know how they knew that that's who that was. Maybe they had name tags. Maybe they overheard Jesus call them by name. Or maybe it's one of those things that they just knew that's who it was. But no matter, here is Jesus, and he is talking with Elijah, the great prophet who was taken away in a chariot of fire rather than suffer death. And Moses, did you know this? Jewish tradition says that Moses didn't die either, that he was just taken up to heaven. So just stop and take that in. Just stop and imagine the scene that these three men are experiencing. This little sightseeing trip on their journey was pretty incredible. Peter thought so, for sure. Peter was not ever known for keeping a thought that he had to himself. And he blurted out what he thought was a magnificent idea that day. Rabbi, it is awesome to be here. Let's make three tents, three dwellings, three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Peter was ready to set up a permanent roadside attraction so that everyone could experience this moment. That would make people stop and take notice. That would stop all of the questions from the religious leaders. That would make it hard for the Roman Empire. But Peter's plans, they were quickly stopped by God himself. God overshadowed the place. He says a few very clear words, and then it's over. Jesus is back to normal. Moses and Elijah are gone, and it's just the four of them there on the top of the mountain. Jesus takes them back down the mountain, and he says, "Don't tell anyone about this until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." Now, I don't know, but I imagine that when Jesus gives this instruction, I imagine that Peter was thinking to himself, not this again. Because shortly before this happened, the Gospel of Mark tells us that Jesus had been talking to them extremely bluntly and clearly, telling them, "I will suffer, I will die, and I will rise again." And Peter didn't like it. And Peter pulled him aside and he said, "Stop talking like that." And Jesus had scolded him. Jesus told him that when he became unhappy with things like that, that Jesus was saying, that Peter was focusing on human things. He was not focusing on divine things. So I do think that Peter that day, when Jesus mentioned the dead thing again, I think Peter thought, not this again, but I know better than to say anything. So Jesus led those men down the mountain, and he told them not to say anything again and about it until after his resurrection. And then Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem. He begins to start that walk toward that day of judgment and suffering that he was trying to tell them about, the day of the cross, the day of victory over death. You see, it was only on the other side of the cross Jesus knew. It was only on the other side of the cross that they would fully understand that it wasn't appearances of glory on the mountain. It wasn't the miracles that he was performing. It wasn't the good news that he was preaching. None of it, none of that was going to override. None of that could prevent. None of it could witness the way that the suffering on the cross would. And it was only in the shadow of the cross and in the light of the resurrection that all of what Jesus was doing would be more clear and it would be understood. So don't tell anyone until you know the whole story, because then it is more. Then it means more. Until then, God told them, listen. Listen to my son. Now, C.S. Lewis was an author, and he had just a wonderful way of describing things about God and faith. And I was reading this week an excerpt from a book of his, The Joyful Christian. And in it, he was writing this rebuttal to this point that he would have people come up to him and make over and over again. They would tell him, you know, people don't want a lot of theology. They don't want a bunch of talk about God. They don't want you attempting to describe things and explain everything in great detail. People don't want doctrines. They don't want creeds. They want experiences. They want experiences of God. They want those whispers in the dark. They want those winds in the desert. They want those touches on their hearts. People want mountaintop experiences. When people focus on doctrines and creeds and words, he would be told they turn away from the real God. You know, the real God, the one that we experience and we feel and we sense. But Lewis said this. He said, there's a problem with thinking like this. When we lead ourselves to believe that the only real God is the one that we experience personally, he says we're limiting ourselves. He explained it this way. He said, you see, if you have a view of the beach, it could be a beautiful and a stunning and an awe-inspiring view of the beach, but it's one view. It's one view. And you miss the map. You miss the map of the whole ocean that is based upon the view other people had, other awesome and awe-inspiring views of the same stunning an inspiring body of water. When you stand on the shore and you look at the waves crashing in, and maybe if it's underneath a beautiful and glorious sunset, you might have a real experience there. It could be exciting, it might be powerful, but nothing comes of it, Lewis said. In itself, it leads nowhere. It's all thrills and no work, he says. We will not go anywhere by just looking at the waves crashing in, no matter how inspired they might make us feel. We have to get in the ship and sail. What we saw might inspire us to get in, but we have to get in. We have to go down that mountain. We have to walk those dusty roads to our Jerusalems. We have to do more than stop, look, and listen to what Jesus tells us in those moments when the clouds part and everything is transfigured into something more, something brighter, something different than our everyday life. Now, I told you a story about my childhood earlier, and I said that that's what I think of today when somebody says mountaintop experience. But that's not true. I mean, that story happened. But that's not what I think of. My mountaintop experience that I think of when I hear that didn't happen on a mountain. It didn't happen on a beach. It didn't happen in the desert. It didn't even happen in a church or in any kind of churchy place. It happened in the waiting room of a car dealership while I waited for my car to have an oil change. I was sitting there waiting. I was doing some work for my Sunday school class, some Bible study. And suddenly, something that I read just lit me up from within. It just lit me up. I felt warmer. I felt the sun got brighter coming through all of those glass windows there in the showroom. I had this overwhelming sense of peace and sense of presence. And then the room was back to normal. And to this day, I cannot tell you even what it was that I was reading that started this off in me. I cannot tell you what it is that settled into my soul that day, but it was wonderful. And it energized me when I was least expecting it, and it energizes me still to think about it, but it is not that moment. It is not that moment which has caused any of the transformation that I have experienced in my life through Christ and the Holy Spirit. It is not that moment. As beautiful as it was, it's the listening. It is the listening to Christ that I have done, the listening to the Spirit, the listening to the Father. It's the listening that has made a difference. It's listening to words of encouragement that I hear when I am on the right track. And it is also listening to rebukes when I am not. Which, by the way, are much harder to listen to. Much harder to remind yourself that, yes, that's God too. But I'm pretty sure they might be the most important ones to listen to. Just ask Peter. Peter rebuked Jesus when he spoke about things that were not encouraging to him. Things that were not painting a picture of how Peter wanted or thought things should go. Peter saw a throne in Jesus' future, see? Not a cross. Jesus thought, hey, this glowing, transfigured Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah, that is good. Not a cross. The cross did not make sense until it was the only thing that made sense. And that was one of many, many things that the Father wanted to make sure that Jesus' followers would begin to listen to. Listen to my son. Listen. I promise you, he's speaking to you. Listen. And then go down that mountain and act as if you heard him. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes we tell ourselves we can't hear you. What are you saying to us? Because we don't hear it. Lord, today, I pray that all of us would have our ears cleaned out like Peter, that we would not stop experiencing you in these moments, these powerful moments, not at all. But those moments would give us enough bravery to listen when you are telling us things we don't want to hear. That we would be able to hear you not only when you are encouraging us, when you are showing us that we're on the right track, but that we would also hear you when you are telling us you need a little course correction here. You need to have your eyes opened. You need to be listening to more than your own problems. You need to listen to the world around you. You need to let go of some of these things that are weighing you down and are keeping you from living the kind of life that I've called you and that I need you to lead. So, Lord, be with us on the mountaintop and as we go down and as we remember that it is in the shadow of the cross that our lives make sense. Amen.